In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We always take the Sunday readings on the day of Monday, so this is the 31st of July, and it's the Feast of St. Ignatius. Oh, yes, wonderful Ignatius, who gave us the Ignatian Retreat. But let's look at the readings from Sunday. From 1 Kings chapter 3, 5 to 12. The Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night. God said, "Ask something of me, and I will give it to you." Solomon answered, "O Lord, my God, you have made me your servant, king to succeed my father David, but I am a mere youth, not knowing at all how to act. I serve you in the midst of the people whom you have chosen, a people so vast that it cannot be numbered or counted. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge your people and to be distinguishing right from wrong. For who is able to govern this vast people of yours?" So he asks for discernment, he asks for wisdom, he asks for understanding. The Lord was pleased that Solomon made this request. So God said to him, "Because you have not asked for long life for yourself, nor riches, nor for life of your enemies, but for understanding, so that you may know what is right, I do as you requested. I give you a heart so wise and understanding that there has never been anyone like you up to now, and after you there will not be one to equal you." We know Jesus succeeded him way over. Now we see that Solomon asks for understanding and discernment and wisdom. But you know what? When Solomon grew up, he took within him 1,000 concubines and had sex with a different one every night with their gods. So he who was wise became stupid. You know what? You don't always finish with the foot that you started with. He started right, but he finished wrong. 1,000 concubines. That awful. That awful. Oh yes, that's crazy. And they brought their false gods too. So poor Solomon became crazy, absolutely crazy. As a young man, he had wisdom. As an old man, he was crazy, absolutely crazy. The second reading is a beautiful reading. Romans 8:28. We know, not think, we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. I want you to look at the things you're fighting with today. The scripture says we know, not think, all things work together for the good to those who love God. Do you love God today? I love God. I love Jesus. I love the Holy Spirit. All things work together for the good. That means this terrible thing that I'm enduring is going to work for the good. Why? Because I love God. This terrible thing that you're enduring is going to work out for the good. Why? Because you love God. All things work together for the good to those who love God. Not some things, not many things, not a few things, but the Bible says all things. Romans 8:28. For those he foreknew, he also predestined, and to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he might be the firstborn of many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. So I want you to look at the thing that's getting you down today. all things work together for the good to those who love God. This is going to work together for the good. How do I know? Romans 8:28. All things work together for the good to those who love God. Whatever it is. And you say it's too big. No, it's not too big. Do you love God? All things work together for the good to those who love God. The gospel is Matthew 13:44-52. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again and goes with joy and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds the pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." Now, I'm going to tell you this. I once thought that we bought the field to get the treasure. But it's not us at all. It's the Lord Jesus. He finds the pearl of great price. He finds the treasure. Who's the pearl of great price? You, me. Who's the great treasure? You, me. He empties himself and takes the form of a slave. And he buys the field with the rocks and all. Yes, you are the field with the treasure, but rocks and all. I am the field with the treasure, rocks and all. Jesus bought us with his blood. I always thought it was we bought the treasure and it was Jesus. No, God first loved us. We didn't first love him. Jesus does this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which the Lord finds and hides again and goes out with joy and sells all that he has to buy the field. Amen. You're the field. You're the treasure. He buys the field, rocks and all. And if you know anything about Israel, the field has filled with rocks. Oh, yes. When he found us, we weren't very good, were we? We were in our sin. But Jesus found us, and he made himself for us to be Lord and Savior and everything else. Oh, yes. Jesus Christ bought you with his blood. You're the treasure. You're the pearl of great price. And I'm telling you this today. You're the treasure. You're the pearl of great price. And he bought you with his blood, with his precious blood upon the cross. I'm reading from the 9th chapter of Luke. Then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority. Let me hear you say power and authority. Power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, "Take nothing for your journey, no staff, no bag, no tunic." Why did he say that? Because Jesus is enough. Jesus is enough. Whatever house you went to stay there and leave from there, wherever they do not welcome you as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They departed and went through the villages, bringing good news and curing diseases everywhere. This is the power of God. Why? He gave them authority. Do you know that Jesus gives you authority? Oh, yes. We have authority. We've been praying for Nancy Moan today, and they said that she had a infection in her bone, and people in Florida and people in Massachusetts have been praying for Nancy today, and they found that the infection's not in her bone. She's got another infection which they can clear up. Oh yes, yes, the Lord hears the cry of the poor. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now Herod the ruler heard about all that had taken place, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John the Baptist had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the ancient prophets had arisen. Herod said, John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things? And he tried to see him. Oh yeah, he's just interested in the fireworks that Jesus does, you know, the healings and deliverances. On their return, the apostles told Jesus all they had done. Oh yes, they cast out demons, they proclaimed the kingdom of God, they healed the sick. What did Jesus do? He took them with him and withdrew privately to a city called Bethsaida. When the crowds found out about it, they followed him. Why? Jesus wants his disciples to rest after they have done this work for the kingdom of God. But crowds followed them, and he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed to be cured. The day was drawing to a close, and the 12 came to him and said, Send the crowd away so that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside to lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. This is a deserted place. Why did he take them to a deserted place? So that they would rest after they had done the great things of God. But he said to them, You give them something to eat. And they said, We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. And he said to his disciples, Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. And they did so, and made them sit down. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke them, sounds like the Eucharist, and gave them to the disciples to set before the crowd. And all ate and all were filled. And what was left over was gathered up, 12 baskets of broken pieces. It's miraculous. It's miraculous. 5 loaves and 2 fish, and Jesus multiplies it as the disciples are handing it out. It's absolutely miraculous. People say, well, everybody brought their lunch. Yeah, they brought their lunch, all right, to a deserted place. They wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to be touched by Jesus. They weren't bringing their lunch with them. And if they, you know, even if some brought their lunch, how do you get 12 baskets full? They didn't bring their lunch at all. Jesus did it. He multiplied the bread and the fish. I tell you, the few things that we have, Jesus can multiply it if we give it over to Jesus. Just yesterday, I was talking to someone, and I asked them, they wanted me to pray for their finances. I asked them, did they tithe their money? And she said, yes. I said, then I was able to pray, Lord, you promised if we tithe that you would open the windows of heaven so that we would be able to have more than enough, that you would open the storehouses of heaven so that we would have more than enough. So do it for this woman because she does what you say. I tell you, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing. When we do what Jesus says, great things begin to happen. Once when Jesus was praying alone with only disciples near him, he asked them, Who do the crowd say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the ancient prophets who has arisen. And he said to them, But who do you say that I am? Peter answered, The Messiah of God. Oh yes. In another place Jesus says, Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And I for my sake say, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. He sternly ordered and commanded them not to tell anyone, saying, The Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then he said to them all, If any of you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose their life, and those who lose their life will save their life for my sake. What does it profit them if they gain the whole world, but lose or forfeit themselves? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory. I am ashamed of Jesus today. Oh Lord, don't let us ever be ashamed of you. Let us always proclaim you when it's easy and when it's difficult. Let us never be ashamed of you, Lord. And I want to tell you, you're not ashamed of us. You bought the treasure, field, rocks and all. That's us. And you're clearing the field of rocks, oh yes, of our sins, through the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, God has plans for you because you are the treasure. Let's continue. Those who are ashamed of me and of my words, of them the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. And this is what's going to happen on the Mount of Transfiguration. They're going to see the kingdom of God. They're going to see Jesus in all of his glory. And so we go now to the Transfiguration of the Lord. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter, John, and James, and went up to a mountain to pray. Luke has them praying for the in the Transfiguration. Luke has them praying at the baptism. Jesus prayed. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became dazzling white. And suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. And they appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, that he would go into Jerusalem and die. They were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep. It was heavy power, I tell you. But since they had stayed awake, but they were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us that we are here. Let us make three dwellings, the three tents. It's the Feast of Tents, of Tabernacles, in the fall. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said while he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them. That's the glory of God. And they were terrified as they entered into the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, This is my Son, my chosen. Listen to him. Do you listen to Jesus? When he tells you something, do you listen to Jesus? Lord, help us to listen to you. Help us to listen to you. Help me to listen to you. When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent in those days and told no one of the things they had seen. Jesus was alone with them. What else do you need when Jesus is there? You don't need Moses and you don't need Elijah. Jesus is the fulfillment of the law, Moses, and of the prophets, Elijah. On the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met them and met Jesus. Just then a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is the only child." Suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks. It convulses him until he foams at the mouth. It mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And while he was coming, the demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. I tell you, Jesus cast out the demons. When I was 13 years old, had epilepsy. And Jesus healed me of epilepsy in about 7 months after I was 13. Oh, yes. I know the terrible experience of falling on the ground. It wasn't a demon. It was my brain that was developing, and they fixed it with medication, thanks be to God. And I found the best of doctors. The best of doctors were there for me. Dr. Lombroso, God love him. I never liked him while I went to see him, because I just didn't like him, because I was sick and I had to go tell people that I was sick. Well, everyone was amazed at all that what he was doing. He said to his disciples, "Let these words sink into your ears. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed into human hands, but they will not understand this saying. Its meaning was concealed from them so that they could not perceive it." And they were afraid to ask him about this saying. They don't want to hear it, that the Son of Man is going to be betrayed into the hands of human beings. Yes, the chief priests and the elders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. An argument arose among them as to which of them was the greatest. But Jesus, aware of their inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to them, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For the least among you is the greatest." I tell you, how many children have you welcomed for the Lord? And he tells us that if we welcome one of them, this is a great gift, and it will never be forgotten by God. I know somebody who's had 12 children. Wow. He arose from them, and as he was with them, he said, Jesus, aware of the inner thoughts, took a little child and put it by his side and said to him, "Whoever welcomes this child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me," that's the Father. "For the least among you is the greatest." I tell you that people have stopped having children these days, and it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. We're not ready to have children. When are you going to be ready? When you're 40? When are you going to be ready? When you're 40? You might not be blessed at 40. God made the body of a woman so that she could bear children when she's young. I've heard people who have had children in their older years said, "You know, it's very difficult for us." Now we know why Jesus wanted us to be young and have children. People buy dogs now and no more children. It's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. John answered, "Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he does not follow with us." But Jesus said to him, "Do not stop him, for whoever is not against you is for you." This is interesting. You see, this is interesting. Catholics who are doing the will of God, you know, other people say, you're Catholic, you should leave the church. No, leave him alone. Leave him alone. Whoever is not against me is for me. Do you know that? Well, the angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Just remember this. To those who love God, all things work together for the good. Whatever the all things are, they might seem like trash right now, but God will change it into fertilizer. All things work together for the good to those who love God. I need to hear from you so that we can pay our bills. InSeason.net, go to PayPal or Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Are you welcoming children? That's the last word I give you. May God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.